chapter 13 and verse 31, the Word of God says this, "For you may all prophesy." You may all prophesy, one by one, okay, so that all may learn and so that all may be comforted. You know, far before I was ever a minister, the gifts began to take over my life because I yielded to the Holy Spirit. And I moved in these gifts. And the thing was about it, it says in 1 Corinthians 12, 1, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, I would not have you ignorant." But there's things I've been ignorant for a long time about it. One of the things I was is I thought the main focus of the gifts of the Spirit were in a church service. But I've come to realize there is no truth to that at all. Right here is where we learn how to flow in the Spirit, and we edify one another. We worship the Lord, okay? And when we leave out of here, we used to have a placard. Kelly, is that thing still over here over this door that says, no. There used to be a sign over here that said, "You are now entering the mission field. Act accordingly." And you know, we have got the Great Commission mission to win this world for Jesus. Back in a few months ago, there was a prophet that said beginning July the 24th of this year, July the 27th, that there would be a great increase in evangelism. And in a course of about 5 years, there's going to be 1 billion souls added to the kingdom of God. And I can see where that's possible. But I'm not sure that it's going to be done with the big, large meetings. I think it's going to be done by people like us, that our hearts are on fire and we're excited about the Lord. We love him. And let me read that verse again. "For you may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn." See, we're here to learn. We're here to grow. We're here to spread our wings and learn how to move in the Spirit and to use the spiritual gifts, because you need them a lot more in your own family, in your own town, in your own school, in your own job, wherever you go, to the restaurants, everywhere. Sam, everywhere we go, boy, we're praying for folks. Everywhere we go. We pray for people at the Dairy Delight all the time. But, here's a verse, the next verse, verse 32, I want you to get this. It says, "Now the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets." Now, what does that mean? As it says in that first verse, "You may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted." And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. Why? Because God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. What does that mean? That means I've been in services where people say, "Well, it just blurted out. I couldn't hold it back." Well, that wasn't the Holy Spirit. That was some kind of a spirit, but that wasn't the Holy Spirit. You see, the spirit of the prophet, small s, is subject to this prophet. Now, I'll give you an example. I sat right here Sunday night. Millie just preached a great word. Didn't she preach a good word Sunday night? Amen. Good word, on time, to the point. And the Holy Spirit told me these, and I'm going to share it now, because we've got a few minutes here, and that's all it takes for the Spirit to move. And he said, "There are two people in here that are crying out, 'I want to be clean, I want to be cleansed.'" Now, I could have brought that up, added another 20 minutes to the service, but that's not what we try to do on Sunday night necessarily. I'm not saying that we won't, but we didn't. We had understanding, you know, people are tired, people want to go home, and so I didn't say, you know what I did? I just didn't give that, but I'm giving it now. See, I didn't give it. Why? Because it doesn't just blurt out of my mouth. I think about what I'm saying. The Holy Spirit coaches me and leads me, and I have to be still. It's a thread. It's a thin line. And I was counseling somebody early, about 2 o'clock this morning. I said, "Hey, you don't interrupt me." And I don't mean that in a harsh way. I'm just saying I'm trying to catch this. I'm trying to catch it. I'll give you an example of that. Kelly was over here. She was closing a service. Oh, I think it was not long ago. And she went walking right by here. And when she got over here, when she got right here, Tyler was here. And she said, "Dad, I just heard a whisper. Just a thread, just a thin." And then she began to prophesy to him. And she said, "You know, I sense that you're being challenged to forgive some people." And he said, I wasn't. He hung his head. It was right on. See, what you have to do, like a service like this, you know what we're going to try to do here. We have to, Jesus was in one place, said he couldn't do too much there, too many mighty miracles, because there was no faith there. There was no preparation. I spent the afternoon in quietness and trying to just think about what God would do. And I still don't know what he's going to do, but he's doing it right now. I'm loving it. But the spirit of the prophet, I want you to understand that, so you don't become afraid and think, "Man, I don't want something getting a hold of me and knocking me on the floor and I can't control it." That's not the Holy Spirit. That is some kind of a spirit probably, but it ain't the Holy Spirit. It is not a godly spirit. It's the spirit of the enemy trying to mess things up. It says here, now we'll read it again. First, "For you may all prophesy one by one so that everybody will learn." We're here to learn. Because see, if you learn this stuff and you take it outside of this classroom here, when you go into the world, you're seeing your patients, other people's school teachers, other people who are in school, kids. Hey, this is not for the ministry. This is for the believer. This is for believers. That's who this was written to, believers. And so that everybody can be comforted, so that everybody can be built up, so that everybody can be encouraged, okay? And that's the setting that God wants to give us. He wants us to be excited. And the spirits, small s, remember, of the prophets are subject to the prophets. Why? Because God is not the author of confusion, but God is the author of peace, as in all churches of the saints. So if one's going ahead and doing something, and then another one tries to jump in and do it, it says that we're supposed to, if you, an in-depth study of chapter 14, we're supposed to wait, and we can all prophesy. That's not talking to the ministry. That's talking to the church. That's talking to you and I. We can all prophesy. And I'll tell you what, you start prophesying, you start feeling a lot better about yourself. You start encouraging people that you love, and all of a sudden they say, "You made a difference in my life. That was a right-on word. That helped me." Now, somebody, there might not be anybody in here tonight, but I put that out because the word says, there were two folks, and who were they? I don't have any idea. I shut her down. I shut her down because, hey, you can live to pray another day. You can live to prophesy another day. You can live to celebrate Jesus another day. But the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. And I'm gonna, in case there's somebody in here, sometimes that's a very secret thing, a very personal thing. "God, I just want to be clean. I'm having trouble being clean." There's so many ways that you can be unclean. The devil tries to keep you in an unclean state and destroy your life. I can remember years ago how Satan worked extra hard on Nicole here, trying to destroy her life. One day she just rose up and she got some help, and it's changed her entire life. It's changed her children. It's changed everything for the better. Isn't that about the truth? Now, I'm going to tell you something about cleansing, because in just a few minutes we're going to make an altar somewhere, and we're going to examine our hearts, as it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. But let a person examine themselves and then take communion. Because if a person would judge themselves, then God wouldn't have to judge them. But God only judges them so that they won't be lost. Okay? So a loving father, you got to discipline your kids every once in a while, Nicole? Yeah. That's what parents do. But anyhow, I'm going to share the number one verse. We read it all the time, but we're going to look at it in a different light. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 1. Now, what am I doing? I'm just going in the ghost. I got a few notes here. I always have notes. I'm never without notes. This letter was not written to ministers. It was written to the church. It was written to people like you and I, just regular people, okay? And here's a verse of mine. I'm talking about cleansing. And if Holy Communion is one of the great things it is, it's a time of cleansing, of purging and cleansing and being honest with God, because you're not afraid of God. Because God doesn't want you to be afraid of him. God wants you to love him. God wants you to let him love you. Each and every one of you are special. Each and every one of you are a snowflake. There's nobody else ever been like you. You're very special. David knew that, and in Psalm 139, he said, I will praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. He could tell that God had done something special in him. But every time, whenever you need a cleansing, do you have to be at church to get a cleansing? No. Do you have to be at church to take communion? No. Smith Wigglesworth, the great power of faith man of the early 1900s, he took communion every day. The Wesley brothers that brought the great Wesleyan movement, they took communion every day. In fact, I think Smith Wigglesworth took it about two or three times a day. You can take communion at home. It's a good spiritual exercise to do, and we need cleansing at times. And I'm going to go here and I'm going to show you something. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. Okay. Says this. Now I'm going to show you something very important. And I'm going to get detailed for a moment. It says, if, there are 1,532 ifs in the King James translation of the Bible that leads us to understand something about God. He's stipulatory. He'll do something if you do something. He did the first thing on a hill far away, on that old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. It was on that old cross that the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. How much is a soul worth? Don't love money. You can't serve two masters. You'll either hate one or love the other. How much is a man's soul's worth? God said, I'll tell you. It's worth more than money to me. It's worth my only begotten son. That old rugged cross represents the greatest expression of love that was ever given. And that expression was given by God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And he wants us to be whole. And he's not mad at anybody, but the devil is. The devil is mad that you came here. The devil wants to mess your life up even more if he can. But the way that you do it, this is a great, powerful verse. And I'm going to get into just a little bit of detail with it. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and he has a legal right to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from our sins. Confession. Now, what is that talking about? Well, Lord, I know I'm bad. No, all of a sudden, you begin to tell the Lord, Father, I'm having adulterous thoughts. I'm having dishonest thoughts. I'm having pornographic thoughts. I'm having deviant thoughts. I'm having awful, I'm tempted to do things. I want to be a substance of you. You name them. It doesn't mean you say, well, yeah, I've got some bad. No. God's, if you confess your sins, whatever you want to get cleansed from, if there's anybody here, I dare you to confess it. Confess it in detail. And the few moments that we have here might not be the place to really get into it. Just say, Lord, I'm not keeping anything from you. You already know. But then you go into detail. It says to confess your sins. You know, if people would clean up their own messes, they wouldn't mess so much. If we had to say we were sorry every time, well, we should, but we don't. See, we say, well, they understand. If we would just repent for the things we did wrong, I was wrong. I sinned. It wasn't a mistake. It was a sin. See, can you own that stuff yourself? If you can, my soul escaped like a bird out of the snare of the fowler. The snare is broken, and we are. What broke that snare? An honest confession before the Creator of heaven and earth and all that there is. And until you can do that, you're going to be limited in your cleansing. There are people that cry. I wouldn't even ask right now. I'm sure you'd get people to say, man, I want to be cleaner than I am. I still do. I want to be cleaner than I am. I have to do some uncomfortableness. I have to tell the Lord the awful things that I do, the awful things I think about doing, the way that I treat people, and many, many other things. What kind of things? Well, I ain't telling you anymore. I'm saving it for the Lord. And if I were you, that's what I would do. I'd save it for the Lord. I wouldn't tell anybody else, and I sure wouldn't get on Facebook and tell anybody anything. Oh, my God. Whew. My Lord, Dwayne, dear God. All right. If we confess our sins, and from now on, if you go tonight and you begin to examine your heart, see, you're not saying these things out loud. You're saying them to God. If you can't be honest with the Creator, Satan's got you right where he wants you. He can keep you there. He can keep you from getting free. And true freedom is when you're just free from your flesh. Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And they are many. Look in Galatians chapter 5 if you want to. But I want you to see this. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and he has a legal right to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from our sins. Now, let's go back to 1 Corinthians 14, 31. 33, one more time, and for you may all prophesy. Listen, we're here to learn. You may all prophesy one by one, so that you can learn. Man, it's not a hokey pokey thing. It's just living in the Spirit. You know what Jesus said after he was resurrected in the book of John at the end of. He got a hold of him, and he breathed on him, like this here, like Benny Hinn does. He just went, whew, received the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit came down on them. See, that was being born again. That was the first initial part. And then in Acts chapter 2, we see them get the infilling of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of praying in other tongues. Hallelujah. But in right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and verse 31, we'll go there again one more time. For you may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. And the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophets, for God is not the author of confusion. I have been in church services that were confusing. Just things happening, people running into walls, and just all kinds of crazy stuff, jumping pews and doing this and doing that. Now, That's not the spirit I got. I got the one where there's no confusion, but great power, you know. And what I want you to know is me and God and the leadership, we want you to prophesy. We want you to move in those gifts because that will change your life. When you go out of here and you can win somebody to Christ, or you can pray a certain prayer for somebody, or all of a sudden you're just at a counter, you've never met this person before, and God shows you something personal about them, and you tell them quietly and in love, and not like a maniac, but like you had a little good sense, and then they want to let you pray for them. That's life in the Spirit is exciting. There's nothing more exciting to me. Look here, when I walk out my front door, everybody's fair game to me. Everybody's fair game. A couple weeks ago, Dwayne, Arkansas Valley elected guy, came His name was Larry. And I started out telling him, "Now, you're not going to cut down that out in the front of my house. I've been here for a long time." And I ended up saying, "What church you go?" "I don't go to church." Because he asked me if I could, I asked if I could pray for him. He said, "Yeah." And I said, "Really?" And all of a sudden, that soul-winning spirit came. It doesn't come from me. It comes from the Lord. I said, "Larry, listen to this. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anybody hears me knocking and opens up, I will come into them." I said, "Larry, I'm just asking you a question." I did that with this girl, Susan, here a week or so ago. I said, "Can you hear the Lord knocking at your heart's door?" He said, "Yes, I can." Grown man, just about old enough to retire. He was telling me about his retirement and his hunting trip. I said, "Do you want to open up to him?" See, you don't get cruel and mean with people and shove people around. You just say, "What's on your heart?" See, let me tell you something. When the ghost shows up, oh, my God. Ain't nothing like it. Oh, my gosh. I said, "Do you want to let the Lord come into your life?" He said, "Yes, I do." Evan was right there with me. I said, "Would you mind if I just led you in a prayer to introduce you to the Lord and that you would get born again?" He said, "No, I want that." I think that's the truth. That happened. That happens all the time with me. God wants it to happen all the time with you. We got, what did I say? 1 billion souls we got to win. It's on the way. It's coming. Yeah. Yes. Somebody give the Lord a hand for the truth. Hallelujah. Now that really works that way. Now, Sunday night, one of my girls, would you come over here please and mic him real quickly? We're just going to go with the ghost tonight. I just want you to learn. I just want you to be blessed. That's all we want. All we want to do is give to you. We don't want to take anything away from you. Now just, here's what happened. I was standing, I think I was right there. And Mary Catherine was back there. And I said, "Dwayne, now let me tell this whole story, because it can be confusing. You know, the devil will try to beat you down." I said, "Go back there and lay hands on Mary Catherine." I said, "When you do, you're going to have a word for her." And you went back there. And then next thing I knew, you were gone. I said, "Boy, I might have offended him or something." So I called Dwayne and said, "What's going on?" He said, "Well, Alaya got sick and I had to get some medicine. You know, there's been a bug going around. Colton had it for a little bit." And I said, "Well, what did you think about that word?" He said, "Brother Angelo, tell him what happened when you went back there."
Yeah, as soon as he told me.
Tell it like a preacher.
As soon as he told me to go back there, I already knew what time it was. I already knew from my experience with the Holy Ghost that if he felt it, then it was going to happen. As soon as I got up, I already started getting the message. As soon as I got up, I already felt like she had some questions that she wanted answered. And I thought, "Well, Jesus, I'm just going to open my mouth and let you roll."
And when you touched her,
that wasn't enough time to come up with nothing. So I said, "God's got it. I've done had enough experience to know that he's got it if you just act on that. If I was to act on what you said, I knew he was going to take care of it just because of the boldness." And as soon as I touched her, I just opened my mouth and I said so she had some questions she wanted answered and she needed to press in on God. She needed to press in on him and be aggressive and that she was going to get something from him.
You know, I want you to come here expecting, because if you do, you're going to get something.
Amen.
You're going to get something out of these services. The Apostle Paul over there, he told me, "Brother Angelo, that was the most beautiful praise and worship service Sunday night." Was it Sunday night? You know, I forget. I can't remember everything I say to people. You know why? There's too much. It's all the time. I can't remember all of that. My mind ain't that good. Sometimes I remember certain things. But anyway, the point is tonight, you're something special to the Lord. And the Lord wants to show you how special you are. by giving you the seal of the Holy Spirit and the boldness and the 9 spiritual gifts and all that there is. I'm going to go to one more place, and then we're going to examine our hearts. We're going to, you know what? Let's pray for Becky. Girls, come with me, and anybody that wants to. I'm telling you, everybody. You want to learn how the Spirit moves? Come on with us. Come on with us. We're going to pray for this woman right here. Somebody, Mike or Millie, you get over there too. And we want you to move in the Holy Ghost. It ain't enough for one person. We want everybody to pray in the Holy Ghost. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to lay hands on you and pray for you because is it tomorrow?
It's Wednesday.
Wednesday. Next Wednesday. You're having an operation. Please talk into the microphone.
I'm going to have a tumor removed and my thyroid removed. And the left aorta is wrapped around the tumor. It's the size of a grapefruit.
Now, you see that? Is that important?
That's real important.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not afraid. I'm okay.
Yeah. I didn't say you were afraid.
Oh, okay.
Calm down now. No, it's not a matter of being afraid. You know what it's a matter of? I think that's, you know, people die with operations like that, don't they, Millie?
Yes.
Yeah. Is this all that want to come here and catch this spirit? If you want to come over here, come on over here. Okay. It's a thread. Let me do this here. It's okay. All right. I want you guys to lay hands on her. Everybody lay hands on her. And Millie, take this microphone and start praying for her.
Hallelujah.
Pray into that
Hallelujah.
Mic.
Hallelujah.
I don't hear nothing coming out of this mic, you guys.
Father, I just thank you for Becky. She's been a blessing since she arrived here, Father. Father, she's got work still here to do, Father. Father, I pray right now for a quick recovery. Father, that you guide that surgeon's hand, Father, that everything comes out as it should, Father, and that you have your hand on her the whole time, that you extend your hand on her, Father, and through her, Father, and work through her. Heal her body, Father, from head to toe, Father. Shortness of breath, she won't have that anymore. She'll have more energy than she ever had, swelling in her legs and her feet. Father, all of that, Father, heal that right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.
Amen. Now, let me ask you something. There was one other person we were going to pray for. Who was that? Who was the other person? I forgot. Who?
What'd you say?
There was one other person we were going to pray for in here.
There was someone else that was having a similar problem. Joe was talking about it.
No,
your mom.
Jeremiah.
Did Jeremiah have to leave? Oh, my. Well, okay. Now, let me ask you. We got a few minutes left. Does anybody want prayer for anything? Anybody want prayer? Everybody good? You don't need nothing? You don't feel it? You're not feeling it? That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Let me look at the clock. I'm going to go one more place for just a moment, everybody. If you would, take your Bibles and turn with you to Mark chapter 16. And hear this account that was given to the church. These are the words of Jesus in Mark chapter 16, beginning at verse 15, says this. And he, Jesus, said unto them, go ye into all the world. You know, it's like he's saying that to us tonight. He's wanting us to get up out of here and go into this world. Where? Wherever you're going. You know that there's divine appointments all around you that God has set up. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Well, I'm not a preacher. Oh, yes, you are. You're a soul winning preacher. The works that I do, you're going to do also. That's what the word said. Okay? Now, and then he said this, and he that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned. Now, verse 17. Now, these signs shall follow all the preachers. Is that what your Bible says? How about anybody? Does anybody Bible say that it just follows the preacher? No, because that's just not the truth, y'all. Let me tell you something. It takes an army to do what we've got to do. Just like one person can't do that food ministry out there. But we've got key people. They work together like a fine-tuned watch or something. And you know what? We have fun out there. And these signs shall follow the believer. And the first one, and I say, this is for moms with kids that are smart, Alex. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. It's time we got a hold of our family. And every time there's a problem, we deliver them. We help them. We use that name of Jesus. We use that the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and we get things off of our family that shouldn't be on there. That's hurtful. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall, see, Acts chapter 2, the first tongue experience, outpouring of tongues, it wasn't on the ministry. It sure wasn't on the, it was on people. It was people from the upper room. One of them was Mary, the mother of Jesus, was up there. And others, there's about 120 people up there. And the Spirit, it sounded like a rushing mighty wind. And they all spake in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And in my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick. I'm going to tell you what. I believe in taking them to the doctor. Before I ever got them out the door, I'd make, have an encounter with the great physician. Okay? I'd lay hands on my kids in the name of Jesus under the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell you, one of my most intense encounters like that, praying for one of my kids, Casey was a little baby in the beautiful white bassinet. We still got it. And she was very sick, bad fever. And it's bad when children, little babies get fever. She wasn't even a year old. And the Lord said, put your hands on her. And I put my hands on Casey, and that fever went up this arm, and it just went out. I don't know where it went, but it was gone immediately, immediately. Marty Campman, Gene Finney, Helen Finney, they called me on a rainy night one night. Would you come over here and pray with us? I said, yeah. I brought my Bible, came over to pray. And Marty was laying up in the bed, fever, just terrible fever. And they gave me this little baby, and they put that baby in my arm. And I just prayed over that baby. Well, what did you say? I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I love this little baby. Little baby, I just pray this fever comes off of you and you get to feeling better. And immediately, it just got off of him. And you know what? Sometimes it scares me. I'll be honest with you. And I said, well, your baby doesn't have fever on it anymore. And they all looked at each other. There's about 12, 15 people in the room. You know them? Did you know them? The Campmans, the Finneys? Anyway, I gave the baby back, and they just began glorifying God. What kind of people were they? Ordinary people. Ordinary people with ordinary problems, you know. They didn't know the Lord that well. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit fell in that room. And that little baby, when that little baby got healed like that, what was that? Shaw Marie, I think, was Helen Finney's daughter's name. She's a little bitty old gal. She was a mother. Does anybody know them? Campman's in here. Did they know that? Anyhow, Marty was over there. And I just climbed up on the bed. There was two or three beds, and I just climbed over there. I'm telling you the truth. And I just put my hand on him. He was laying down with his face down. When I laid my hand, I didn't even get to say anything. He just jumped out of there. Well, why? Because that's who Jesus is. Jesus is not three songs and read a scripture and you go home and bye-bye, we'll see you next. That's not what it is. The church is alive. The things that God wants to do is alive, and he wants to help you. Now, all of that's true now. We've got a few minutes. I'm going to ask you to just make an altar. Come to the altar. If you can't get on your knees, don't worry. Make an altar by bowing your head down. Make an altar in your heart and have a little talk with Jesus. Examine yourself. Is there anything that you should be telling Jesus about? maybe you could start here and go home tonight. Let's just have some music and let's just